This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Best part of our week starts right now. Chip Patterson, Cover 3 podcast, CBSSports.com. My friend joins us every Wednesday to talk about a number of things. So let's talk about a number of things. Chip Patterson, you did a whole breakdown of ACC football at CBSSports.com. So let's take advantage of your hard work and research. Is Clemson on the way down?
Potentially. Absolutely. No, there is, like, we could see this Clemson team not reclaim its position as one of the two to three best teams in college football. We could see Clemson have a season where it wins the ACC and is not competing for a college football playoff. I don't think we will see a season where Clemson is not crowned the ACC champion at the end of it, but the margin for error that is set up right now in the ACC, we just saw a year ago where Pitt was able to win the league, was able to beat Clemson on the way to winning the league, and really never sniffed the college football playoff at all. So based on where the league is at right now in the eyes of the college football playoff selection committee, not only if Clemson wants to get back to competing for a national championship, not only do they have to win the ACC, but they have to look really good doing it. And that all starts with, you know, generating something out of the offense, an offense that was just dreadful.
Right.
Now, look, Clemson's defense was one of the five best defenses in the country by multiple metrics last season. It's how they were able to actually win 10 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you remember 19-14 against Georgia Tech? I mean, do you remember like a six-point win against Boston College? I mean, they would just drag teams down into the mud because they were still so good on the defensive side of the ball. So Clemson, I do think, is going to win the ACC. But whether Clemson is back or whether Clemson has course corrected really has a lot to do with what happens at the quarterback position and the passing game as a, in general.
Well, we're going to talk about that. I also remember the first game of the season in which, what was it, 10-3 Georgia? Was that the final score? Was one of
no offensive touchdowns for the Georgia Bulldogs.
A pick six was
the only touchdown in the game, as both of those defenses just ruined any idea of modern football being played in Charlotte on that day.
It was depressing to watch. Look, I understand, and I had a conversation with our friend Mike Felder about it. He goes, if you want to elevate Georgia, you better elevate Clemson too, because that defense stopped anything Georgia wanted to do. And it's hard for like people like me. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. But it was offensive in how unoffensive it was. Here's my question, and you alluded to it. Who's the quarterback at Clemson? We have two brand new coordinators. Tony Elliott's gone. Brent Venables is gone. Who's the quarterback? And what can we really expect from an offense that over the years has demonstrated good but not great offensive line play? So what are we talking about here?
The good news is, I think that last year they found an identity really using Will Shipley. And Will Shipley got hurt at the end of the year, missed some time this spring. He and Kobe Pace are as good of a 1-2 running back combination that I think you're going to find in the conference. And that's where I think that we have talked at times about BGD, Big Game Dabo, where Dabo kind of turtles up a little bit when it comes to the very biggest games. He's very conservative. He's very happy kicking field goals. He's very happy punting. He is going to do the not make a big mistake type game plan in order to win. And with two good running backs, if they can find a way to get the offensive line play good enough to make that run game effective, then whether DJ Uiagalelei takes the next step as a passer might not be as big of an issue. However, if they are not able to generate a consistent run game, then it's going to have to be being able to win with wide receivers that have underperformed and a quarterback that has not lived up to expectations. And here's Cade Klubnik, which makes it fascinating because NC State's defense is going to challenge. That's the first real challenge for Clemson's passing attack. Clemson will have to throw the ball successfully in order to beat NC State in Death Valley. There's also a little bit of a scheduling trap the week after NC State because Clemson's going up to Chestnut Hill to play Boston College.
Yeah.
6 points has been the deficit each of the two times that Boston College has played Clemson under Jeff Hafley. There is a lot of belief in that program that they are very, very close to accomplishing what they want to do. And I don't know if this is like widespread across this unprecedented statewide platform, but the red bandana game really means something.
Yes.
And generates a lot of excitement around the Boston College community. And wouldn't you know, the red bandana game is the week after NC State. So Clemson's got a tough NC State team and a challenging scheduling spot against Boston College. And out of those two games, we'll know whether or not it's DJU or Cade Klubnik, because I don't think that subpar performance, or at least definitely not 2021 performance from DJU, is going to be enough to get out of both those games with wins.
I actually think there's even more of a problem for Clemson, and it might come the week before NC State when they have to play at Wake Forest, right? I'm not expecting this to be last year's Wake Forest team. But Dave Clawson, Dave Clawson knows what he's doing. And if there is any looking forward to their home game with NC State, that game will become even more of a problem. Let me flip this over to the Wolfpack. With everybody coming back, they obviously have to work out their own offensive line issues and replacing Ike Ekwonim, not to mention some others, but with everybody else coming back and having one of the best returning quarterbacks in the country in Devin Leary. Why? I mean, I know it's NC State, and I know how everybody processes it, but if we took the uniforms and the logos off and put the exact same situation on, I mean, we could throw out any university, you know, Texas A&M. Exact same – well, that's probably a bad one because they don't win either. But why can't State – why couldn't State take care of this?
So what is this? Because there's the –
the league. Why can't they win – they could win the league.
NC State is a team that I could see winning the ACC, but I do not see enough surefire, no doubt – you know, 100% top to bottom advantages among the against the competition to think that they'll go 12-0. Does that make sense?
NC State wins
the ACC in the simulations where the ACC champion has two losses. NC State wins the ACC in the simulations where maybe even if it's just one loss, but there is just not enough of a gap. Like, can NC State end up at the top of the pile? Yes. But there is not enough of a gap between NC State and the rest of the competition. So in the totally myopic vacuum, NC State, can you go and win the ACC? Yes, you can go and win the ACC. You have, as you mentioned, maybe the best quarterback in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
You have one of the best defenses in the ACC. I would only put them second to the Clemson Tigers right, that we mentioned just a little bit ago. However, I do think that the rest of the competition has to be acknowledged. And the fact that it's not just Clemson, it's Wake Forest. Miami has the ACC Offensive Freshman of the Year in Tyler Van Dyke. And by the way, we are still working in a world where we believe the ACC will use divisions for this year.
Oh, they will, because they haven't said anything yet, and I don't understand why. But
yeah,
it's just another
story. We'll see about that. There is a decent amount of intrigue based on what Scott Satterfield has done in the transfer portal.
Sure.
Picked up a couple of huge, much-needed additions that I think are really going to help Louisville out. I think that Florida State is not a threat to NC State. However, it is a game that NC State could lose. I mean, there's just too many games on the schedule where the gap is not big enough to be able to say, like, this is surefire right, the pick. But could NC State end up on top of the pile? Absolutely.
All right, so I don't like to do the here's game one, here's game two. Do you think they'll win? NC State should be 4-0 going to Clemson, correct?
That would be all the non-cons, right?
Yeah,
the non-cons should be 4-0, no question.
I mean, I think it'll be somewhat difficult at ECU because it's week one and it's a rivalry game within the state. Other than that, Texas Tech,
Texas Tech will be a huge challenge for the back end of that NC State defense. The coach that they brought in is a guy named Joey McGuire. He was a former Baylor assistant who I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to hit on not only some transfer portal guys, a guy named Tyler Shuck out of Oregon, who's going to be able to chuck it around the yard, but they also went, remember Western Kentucky and Bailey Zappe last year.
Yes, absolutely.
Threw it everywhere. Yeah, yeah, Texas Tech went to go get that offense.
Okay.
And they're bringing that in. So that's why I say, you know, when we look at the depth chart for NC State, man, you love the defensive line. Oh, those linebackers, mm-hmm. if they stay healthy, we're talking about some of the best in the country. I mean, this is so exciting. If you were power ranking defensive line linebackers secondary is third, again, on a defense that I rank very highly. But I think that the Texas Tech game will give us such a great look at what could happen later in the season when they go up against, for example, Sam Hartman and A.T. Perry and a Wake Forest passing attack that's going to be absolutely elite. So if the Texas Tech game goes well, then, yeah, without a doubt, you've got some real confidence heading to Death Valley.
Okay, so they go to Clemson. Let's just say they're 4-0. The schedule in terms of home and away for the Wolfpack actually works out pretty well in that the teams that would be more difficult for them, the Florida States of the world, Wake Forest, Boston College, all home. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech at home. Now, that doesn't mean...
Oh, great time to draw Virginia Tech, too. You talk about just like the stars aligning. This is the time in the post-Fuente, before Brent Pry has it built up.
Right.
This is the one year to go get the Hokies, because I am big picture in on Brent Pry being able to bring the Hokies back up to speed. But even he has said the roster just ain't up to par yet.
So the end of the season, like I'm not saying they're going to be 10-0 going to Louisville and Carolina, because I'm not that dumb. But I just think it works out well. The schedule works out in their favor, home and away, non-conference schedule. I don't play the NC State stuff games. You know me well enough. I have never bought into it. I think they're good enough. And we'll see. Yes, secondary issues. I know that they have to rebuild an offensive line, and that to me is the number one thing. You can mitigate secondary problems. You can't mitigate an offensive line that isn't good enough. Carolina's offensive line, especially earlier in the season last year, just wasn't good enough. And I know they had skill position issues, but to me it was all about their offensive line not being good enough. Wasn't about the quarterback, wasn't about anything else. If State's offensive line plays well, I mean, they might not win at Clemson, which of course, that would be the end of all of it. And then the week after that, of course, is the Florida State game, and Florida State should be better, but who knows? But I'm here to dream, Chip.
You want to get some tight butts? I mean,
I don't mind. I don't mind creating some lemon booty.
Going to play Louisville.
Hey,
and don't let that be a like Scott Satterfield hot seat signature win potential. You know, and look at the end of the preseason power ratings are kind of all over the place right now.
Sure.
But if NC State and North Carolina played on a neutral field next week, I think it might be a pick 'em. I've seen them rated very close to each other, both between 9 and 10 points above the average FBS team. You know,
Carolina's not going to be as bad as they were a year ago.
Well, I believe the quarterback play will still be pretty strong. I think that, you know, Drake May is obviously the future, but if we see Jacoby Criswell out there a decent amount, that would not surprise me. Something that's probably good for balance. Josh Downs is one of the best wide receivers in the country. Like, you can look at the recruiting, you can look at the prospects, the steps forward that some of them have taken at times, change over a defensive coordinator. You could talk yourself into it, but I'm just talking hard numbers. Hard numbers have NC State and North Carolina somewhere, you know, best teams in the country are about 25 to 28 points better than your average FBS team on a neutral field. And right now, NC State and North Carolina are somewhere in that 8, 9, 10, 11-point range.
So who's State going to play in Charlotte in the ACC championship game?
If it's not Miami, then Mario Cristobal did something wrong.
I agree.
They cashed in that Bitcoin money before Bitcoin crashed. They have got some good foresight right there. We call it on the Cover 3 podcast, we call it Cryptoball. You know, that's what they're doing right there with all the crypto billionaires and everybody that loves Mario Cristobal and the Miami family. But Tyler Van Dyke's the real deal.
Yeah.
Backed up the truck to get Josh Gattis out of Michigan. I think that the freshman on defense, who ended up playing really well for Miami down the stretch as Manny Diaz was trying to save his job, showing off the future of Miami. Well, that only gives me more confidence in what Mario Cristobal can accomplish with that same group. And I look at the rest of that division, and it is undoubtedly the weaker division there, where you've got turnover at Virginia, turnover at Virginia Tech, turnover at Duke, a coach that's probably going to end up getting changed at Georgia Tech. And we're just that's it. You're just left with Miami, Pitt, who, by the way, lost your offensive coordinator, your Heisman finalist quarterback, and your Biletnikoff award-winning wide receiver. Yeah. And then North Carolina, which has its own set of turnovers. I mean, heck, North Carolina could be the second best team in the Coastal, and that's not a crazy prediction to make.
Not at all.
So if in your in the scenario that you've played out, NC State would have to beat Miami in Charlotte in order to win the ACC.
Yeah, and that's hoping that they finish off the undefeated season by winning in Chapel Hill. I'm just piling on the idiocy here. All right, when we come back, Chip, you and I actually we haven't talked that much about golf in a couple of weeks. I think the PGA Tour should be in crisis mode. I don't know how you feel about it, but we'll discuss that next. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible, because here's one thing, Adam, taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Is this the video with Tawny Katane on the car driving through the tunnel?
Sure.
So, Tawny Katane, formerly Mrs. Chuck Finley, who was a pretty good left-handed pitcher for the then, I believe, California Angels? I don't know. I don't know what they were.
That time have been California Angels.
But probably California Angels. Chuck Finley was very good. Very good pitcher. Chip Patterson, also a very good pitcher, I'm sure, back in the day, as he commanded the mound at Broughton High School. Did you play baseball?
No, listen. The Broughton High School baseball team was a juggernaut. We were turning out like SEC players.
Oh, really?
And everybody who was on the team was like already in the, fall ball, spring ball, summer ball, like in those circuits.
Okay, I get it.
I did play Raleigh City League baseball. JC Park was where I was playing. And they smartly stuck me in right field, which at that age tells you everything you need to know.
Now, see, as somebody who coached in the Raleigh City League, you put your – I'm not accusing you of being a weaker player. You put your weaker players on the left side.
Well, we
– people did not pull. Right fielder and your second baseman were all going to get action.
Yeah, I was out there in right field, and I ate a lot of sunflower seeds, and I – I laid down a game-winning bunt.
Don't even
in our finale.
No, we can't.
I follow the coach.
Edit that out. Edit that out, Dennis. There will be no bunting conversations on this program.
I'm sorry, I can't do that.
I tell you what, though. Oldest son is showing a lot of left-handed. I'm ambidextrous, but I was playing sports right-handed. I write left-handed. Oldest son is showing a lot of left-handed potential. So, I'll lean on you for some baseball help when it's time to make sure we're grooming that left-handed pitcher.
So he throws left-handed?
Mm-hmm.
Pitcher, and honestly, first base is not a terrible place to be, especially if you can rake a little bit. All right, let's get to the matter at hand. Chip Patterson, Cover 3 podcast moderator, but also at one point host of the First Cut, right? The First Cut podcast on CBS. I never missed an episode when you were the host of that.
Well, thank you.
Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, we already knew. Louis Oosthuizen, Kevin Na, whatever. Bryson DeChambeau, they announced today DeChambeau would be going. The rumors are that Patrick Reed will join. there's some pretty big names. And when it's all said and done, before anything else happens, we're probably talking about 7, maybe 8 in the top 40 of the world that are going to be playing the LIV Tour. That doesn't include Phil Mickelson, and it doesn't include anybody else that might come out of left field. Am I crazy? If I'm the PGA Tour, aren't I in crisis mode at this point?
Without a doubt. I mean, I think more names are coming.
Oh, yeah. The money's bottomless.
This is playing poker with like somebody who doesn't – like if you're somebody who likes to play poker and try to do all the rules and try to game everything out and follow everyone's moves, this is playing poker with someone who plays irrationally. This is playing poker with somebody who does not mind going back to the window to get more chips 9 times by mm-hmm. the end of this poker night. The idea of making money clearly is not a priority here at the beginning.
As they can't possibly make money.
We don't have a broadcast television deal, and yet we're bringing in Arlo White, one of the most respected commentators. Oh, excuse me, respected. Renown, is that more appropriate?
Look, I love Arlo White. I'm bummed that he's not going to be doing NBC's coverage of the Premier League anymore. I loved Arlo White. This is just disappointing.
This is real. This is a threat to the PGA Tour, and how much of a threat it is will only be determined, in my opinion, based on how many more of the Bryson DeChambeau, you know, under 35-year-old stars end up moving that way. Because there is a future where LIV Golf continues for a long time and lives out like a it'll probably be like 2 years before we know whether or not it's going to be sustainable for a decade, for example. But there is a way that it is sustainable for a decade, and it's a combination of players like Phil Mickelson, Lee Westwood, Louis Oosthuizen, Sergio Garcia, along with younger players, which would be very, very bad for the PGA Tour.
Taylor Gooch. That ain't good. That ain't good for the PGA Tour, even though a lot of people don't know who he is. He's a really good young player.
It's a and remember, Brooks Koepka started on the European Tour. That was the first place. So, like, those kinds of alternate tour options have been ways that young American golfers have decided to start their professional career. So if it's just the older players and the really younger players, there's a way that, yes, this is a competitive tour. Now, if we want to talk about really threatening the PGA Tour as it exists in the minds of golf fans for its audience, you go get more Brysons. Then, this is a real problem. And it's interesting, too, because I've had to advance beyond just sort of the big picture. It was like, oh, well, like, what would you do if you took that money? Or, you know, this, that, or the other. Like,
I've joked, man, when is the public investment fund going to be interested in sports radio?
But as, for our purposes, I just kind of have to plow through that, because now we've got to get to the next level in the deeper analysis, which is, do I respect you? If you won a LIV Golf tournament, if you win one of these events, do I consider it valuable? You go get more Brysons, you go get more players like that, then the amount of respect, the amount of attention that I pay goes up. The group that they introduced for London is not the kind of event that would have me crowning the champion or interested in the final round. But it's here, it's real, it's probably going to be around for 2 years minimum, if not longer. And whether or not it's a true threat to the PGA Tour is going to be determined by some, not the youngers or the olders, but some of those right in the prime of their career guys who decide to make that move and make that jump. And so, yeah, to the point of your question, I'm sorry for the rambling.
No, it's fine.
Should the PGA Tour be in crisis mode? Yes.
Yeah. First of all, a couple of months ago, before we got to this point, Xander Schauffele was rumored to be part of it. Ricky Fowler, who is no longer competitive on the PGA Tour, unfortunately, and it may snap back, but Fowler would be a big loss. He would be a loss in the way that Phil Mickelson is a loss. Frankly, I'll be surprised if Fowler doesn't go to the LIV Tour. I'll be surprised. There's too much money. They're offering so much money. Mickelson gets $200 million just to put his name in the field 8 times. DJ's going to get between $125 and $150 million. This is before they even put a ball in the air. So there's too much money for this not to be a big deal. here's a couple of things. One, as long as there are no more official world golf ranking points, as long as that tour does not generate points toward the world golf rankings, it's going to be, you know, that's a favor in the, you know, a check mark in the PGA Tour's column. What does the Masters do? U.S. Right. Open and the Open Championship will be helpless to keep these players out of their fields next week and then next month. But what does the Masters do, which I believe has the biggest hammer here, more than the PGA Tour rescinding membership or banning the players? It's what the Masters says, because that's DJ still in the prime. That's, you know, DeChambeau wants to win that tournament. And there's Masters champions, Schwarzel and Garcia, Patrick Reed, because he's going to go to this too. And here's the other thing that I haven't even brought up until today. We are right now. What is the next significant PGA Tour regular event?
The Canadian Open? Or are you saying like significant would be the U.S. Open, right?
No. PGA Tour event. Not a major, but the next regular tour stop on the PGA Tour. When is the next one of significance?
It's not, right? There's not one for a little bit. We're kind of in the stretch.
The last one of the regular season, which determines who gets into the FedEx Cup, every other PGA Tour event, if you want to make an argument for the week, for the Travelers, the week after the U.S. Open, whatever. But I'm telling you, we are in the soft part of the PGA Tour schedule, where it's all about the majors, and then there's the week before or the week at, like, no. Wyndham is the last PGA Tour event of significance because it's the last time to get into the FedEx Cup or improve your standing for that. Nobody's going to cry missing out on a PGA Tour event between now and the second week in August. Nobody. So the tour, they better find some friends and they better figure out what's going to happen when they lose more players, because they're going to lose more players. I don't know why this has not been treated as a crisis. It bothers me that it hasn't.
So the inside, among PGA Tour pros, I think it's mostly treated with like sadness, right?
Some.
Because no, it's not going to, I mean, obviously there's the ones that are like championing and leaving and going to join Live Golf. But, you know, there is a sense, based on my understanding, you know, pro golf has changed forever this week.
Yes.
And the way that we look at pro golf moving forward could be really different. And so, you know, if Greg Norman would say that's a great thing, maybe Phil Mickelson would say that that's a great thing, but it's real, it's changing. And this is, I think, for a lot of professional golfers, a little bit sad that, you know, it's being done with so much animosity, I suppose. But I wasn't impressed by the logos. I wasn't impressed by the team names.
Oh, I don't even care.
If you win these little no cut events against C-minus fields, right, maybe even D-plus fields, you know, you've eliminated the idea of a professional golfer really grinding to make a cut. One of the like great things that can provide entertainment for a patron who's on the grounds. Look at those Masters words. on a Friday when you're trying to, you know, look for your rooting interests and you're trying to find some entertainment. I've moved on to the point where it's real, it's here.
Oh yeah.
And we're having to make editorial decisions about how much we're going to cover it. And I've then had to advance my professional analysis and how much weight do I give. You're 100% right about the World Golf Rankings points being the next big tipping point.
That's the only thing. I think the Masters will support the PGA Tour.
I think the Masters will say we are above everything. If you meet our qualifying standards in the world rankings and all these other qualifying standards, we're not going to. I think the Masters will go more in the lines of the U.S. Open. U.S. Open is like, we are the most open tournament, but the Masters is like, we're so exclusive that, you know, we're not even going to be concerned about.
We're going to have to end it here, but my read on the U.S. Open and the RNA is that there was not enough time to protect their legal standing here. I think both of those events wanted to ban these players and realized legally they could not. So they're going to have to suck it up, bite the bullet, and let these players play. the Masters can do what they want. They understand it, as for all of their backwards thinking in the past, the Masters has proven.
Also, is informing some of my guests.
Right. The Masters has gotten to the point where they are 100% now about the improvement and betterment of the game. The LIV Tour has nothing to do with bettering the game. It is simply lining pockets. And that, whatever that is, that's fine. But it has nothing to do with growing the game or anything like that. It is entirely about paying players, which, whatever. And from Greg Norman's perspective, doing as much damage to the PGA Tour as he can. The Masters is not interested in that. I'm guessing here. I think the Masters will back the PGA Tour because they can uninvite anybody they want, and I think they will support the PGA Tour. That, but the World Golf Rankings, that might be the most important thing here. Because if you can't get rankings points from playing on this in this series, and the only place else you can get rankings points, because I don't think these players will be welcome on the DP World Tour either. So that the only place you can get rankings points is on the Asian Tour, then it's going to be difficult for these guys to amass enough points. Right.
And then the reason that we say that for, you know, the audience, and I'm sorry again for running long, but like top 50 and top 20 are cutoffs that get you into the majors. So
right.
If you're not going to get world rankings points, you're going to get passed and you're going to fall out of the top 20 or top 50, no matter how many of these LIV golf tournaments you win. If you get world rankings points, whoa.
Right. And that's that. Then it's a game changer. But I think the Masters will come out and at some point and support the PGA Tour. But their tournament's not till April. Chip Patterson, you are a gentleman. I appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
The man. All right. I got a little carried away with Liv. I can't hold back. I think there's a lot of people that are mad about it, and they should be.
I don't disagree with you about people being mad about it.
I think there are a lot of people mad about it. I get it's golf. Yeah. But also, if you're bringing up China, I've got a comment about that. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with being mad at the relationship that professional sports has with China. It's not about whether or not you should be mad at that or not, but I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Alrighty, so for halftime entertainment here.
Yes, sir.
We put 7 on the board.
I apologize. That's my fault.
It's okay.
It's my fault.
Alright, we get our first trailer for the Black Adam movie, which is part of the DC universe. Finally released, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson's playing the lead character, is more of an anti-hero in this movie as opposed to more of a villain role you might see in the books. But mm-hmm. Nevertheless, we're also going to see Dr. Fate being played by Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, I love Pierce Brosnan.
So, yes, I'm very much looking forward to this movie. Releases October 21st, so the first trailer is out there. I'm curious what other characters we're going to see. The DC cinematic universe is just kind of a little all over the place right now, so I don't know what's going to happen moving forward with the film franchise. Dwayne Johnson has said that he is 100% committed to continuing to build the DC universe in terms of a film aspect, which is super cool to hear. But I don't think DC and Warner Brothers, what their plan is, I don't know if they even have a plan, because this merger with Discovery and, you know, all that, who knows what's going to happen. But mm-hmm. nevertheless, I'm still excited for this movie to come out. They announced this movie like 7 years ago that they were going to make this movie. And The Rock was tabbed as being the lead character.
Rock's in every movie.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to this one.
We're going
to
talk more about movies with Dimitri Ravenos in a little bit.
We can also ask him about how Amazon released a trailer for A League of Their Own. That's right, A League of Their Own. Not the 1992 movie, but a reboot series that will drop in its entirety on August 12th.
Really?
Yes.
Who's in it?
I know Nick Offerman is going to be in there as well. There's some names in here that
Is he the manager?
I'm not entirely sure who's playing who, to be honest with you. I tend to stay away sometimes from trying to figure out characters that they're playing. Actors and actresses, because I don't want to be spoiled about who might be appearing.
Right.
Even though it's A League of Their Own, and it's still going to be based around the Rockford Peaches, still the same time period, So I think the characters are still going to be the same. Again, different actors and actresses, but they're just going to explore more because, again, it's a series as opposed to just a movie that we saw in 1992. So just a little bit more exploration regarding that. But Amazon, typically what Amazon has been doing is when a show releases, they'll release the first two or three episodes of the season, then release them every week, you know, until the season concludes. They're actually going the Netflix model with this series in terms of putting the whole series out there. So in its entirety on August 12th, the whole series is available.
Okay.
So if you, I'm not going to lie, I love the A League of Their Own movie.
It's a great movie.
Fantastic movie. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see cameos by people.
Rosie O'Donnell?
Madonna. Tom Hanks.
Gina? What was the catcher? What was her name?
I forget.
I don't remember.
Can't remember either.
She's tall.
Kenan Thompson will host the NHL Awards on June 21st.
Kenan Thompson?
Yes.
I love Kenan Thompson.
He's great. Kenan Thompson.
Huge
is
fan
awesome,
of Kenan. So. By the way, have you seen his impersonation of Kendrick Perkins on SNL?
Oh, it's hilarious. Nailed it. Absolutely crushed it.
I mean, it couldn't have been better. As great as some of the SNL impressions have been, Kate McKinnon doing anybody.
Yeah.
Kenan Thompson doing Kendrick Perkins was so spot on. It just makes, it made me laugh just thinking about it.
All right. Michael Vick has a new job.
Does he?
Yes. This is according to the Sport Business Journal.
Okay.
Michael Vick has joined Level Sports as head of athlete development. So Vick is going to work with clients on mental and physical preparations on the field, as well as figuring out ways to monetize themselves through NIL opportunities. So some people that are athletes that we know of that are involved with Level Sports, DJ Uiagalelei of Clemson, as well as USC commit Malachi Nelson, amongst others. So he's going to be able to help build their opportunities off the field for NIL purposes and generate income for them.
Good.
So, yeah, props to Michael Vick.
Absolutely.
Continuing to do some things.
Yeah, look, keep yourself in the game. Keep yourself. Here's the thing. I think Vick, other than, obviously, and it can't really overlook the dogfighting and the lack of respect for the lives of dogs. And we can, some people are dog people and some people don't care and whatever. I think Mike has been more good than bad in those regards. So, good for him for maybe doing some things that'll help out a lot of kids.
Yeah.
That's important.
I agree with you entirely on that. That's all I have.
That's it?
That's it.
All right, well, we have...
I knew you were going to run long with Chip.
So did you?
Yes, of course. You always run long with Chip. It's a given. It's like 6-7 minutes every time.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I will say as well, I haven't watched it yet, otherwise I would give a review. The first episode of Ms. Marvel on Disney Plus dropped today, as well as the most recent episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi, also on Disney Plus today, but I haven't watched them yet, so I can't give you a review.
You know, I haven't either.
We haven't watched any of it.
No, I haven't either.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
So, Dennis, in the last segment, you announced that Kenan Thompson would be hosting the NHL Awards.
Yep.
Right? So, he's just now made an appearance, or maybe he was yesterday, made an appearance on SportsCenter. And, you know, they have to do these things. There's got to be video involved.
Of course.
Kenan Thompson is driving.
Yes, I see it right now.
Right?
This is wonderful.
He's driving, sets up his phone, obviously, so he's on camera, and he's doing a hookup. Like, that's dangerous.
Yeah. As he's wearing a flower.
It's fine. I don't care what he's wearing. It's just dangerous, man. You're driving. It's hard enough to text and drive. I'm just kidding.
Shouldn't do that either.
Shouldn't do that either. All right. Yesterday, I did okay. Didn't do terrible.
I did not.
Oh, man. All right, let's add them up.
Place your bets. Place your bets.
Darn Rangers let me down. Of all teams.
$100. Gambling is illegal now. At Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can own it. I owe you one.
All right, so how'd you do yesterday?
I did nothing yesterday.
0-3?
0-3. I had Germany beating England. They drew.
Yeah.
And then I also had Shohei Ohtani hitting a home run, and he didn't. I was like, oh, they fired Joe Maddon.
They scored 5 runs at least.
Yeah, well, they still can't win. Not that I would have factored
in. They've lost 13 in a row.
And I had Tampa beating the New York Rangers by a final score of 4-2. The final score was 4-1.
Yeah, it was 4-1. It was 3-0 late. Tampa pulled their, the Rangers pulled Shesterkin with about 4 minutes to go when they were on the power play. They end up scoring to make it 3-1, and I thought, wait a second. They could get another one here,
yes.
And then Tampa with an empty net.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking, Dennis is still in play here. And, I mean, I already lost the game because I actually took a flyer on the Rangers at plus money. Figuring, yeah, maybe they can get that. So, all right, well, didn't work out.
Nope.
I actually had the England and Germany to draw. So I made the plus 245 there,
of course,
which meant that the other two losses didn't hurt too bad. So I still picked up 45. All right, Dennis, start us off.
Shohei Ohtani home run plus 275.
You have to do it again.
I have to.
You have to do it. I mean, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. All right. I'm going to go with that game.
Okay.
The Angels are not going to lose 14 straight.
No, it's because Ohtani's hitting homers.
Give
tonight.
Me the Angels.
Drop bombs.
Plus 130 at home on the money line. And we'll start with the Angels. They're not losing 14 in a row.
Ohtani's hitting nukes. UEFA Nations League,
yep.
Ukraine-Ireland. I'll take Ukraine over Ireland, plus 195.
I've got Ukraine at plus 220.
I'll take that.
Yeah, because I have that circled as well. There's a lot of draws in Nations League.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of draws.
Scares me.
Ukraine on the road, coming off that loss. I just wonder what they've got, right? I have to go look at it.
They're actually plus 225 now. Just looked up the updated line.
225?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if if they're missing somebody. I'll take that as a draw, though. Ukraine, Ireland. I haven't looked at what the
plus 215 for a draw.
Plus 215 for a draw.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that as a draw. They're on the road. Their third straight match. The other two were World Cup qualifiers. They were at Scotland first, then they were at Wales.
Yeah.
And this one is at Ireland, so spending the entire time in the British Isles, if you will. All right, you go.
All right, NBA tonight. Jaylen Brown, Boston Celtics, 2+3-pointers in the first half, plus 190. 2 3-pointers in the first half. I feel good about that.
I like that. I like that. I am also going with a Jaylen Brown prop today.
You're stealing all my picks?
No, I'm not that one. I'm doing a different one. I think Boston's going to win the game. But I think Jaylen Brown is going to go off tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Jaylen Brown at 30 or more points.
Oh.
At plus 300.
Okay.
So that's what I want.
So big day for Jaylen Brown.
Big day for Jaylen Brown. And I'm also putting one in for tomorrow ahead of time.
Okay.
Golf starts tomorrow. PGA Tours, Canadian Open starts tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a Canadian in the top 10 after round one. Corey Connors will be in the top 10 after the first round at plus 200.
Okay. Where's Mike Weir?
Mike Weir is on the Champions Tour. He's not playing in this
Okay,
event.
Gotcha.
He's old. He's old.
I don't know if he would still play maybe in the Canadian.
He might. I don't think, but I don't believe he's playing in this event. So there you go.
I'm going to give you so many random picks later on this week.
You're going to just pick all of the lacrosse?
I have lacrosse, which I'll be there on Friday, and they're in Charlotte.
That's right. Are we talking with lacrosse peoples?
We might
on Friday.
Tomorrow
or Friday?
I believe tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay.
Tomorrow we're going to speak with them.
I'm excited for this.
You should be.
Because this is, I like the barnstorming aspect of this is the PLL,
mm-hmm.
Pro Lacrosse League. How many lacrosse leagues are there?
One outdoor, one professional indoor. Like major professional indoor. They have junior level for indoor.
So PLL is the only outdoor professional lacrosse league.
Yes.
And this is the Barnstormers.
Yes.
They go from city to city. They were in Albany last week, right?
Correct.
And they're in Charlotte this week. How many stops? How many weeks do they have this?
They have, 10-game regular season, plus you have an all-star game built in.
An all-star
game.
So
during the regular season, 11 stops, but then you have playoffs as well. So you're looking at 12, 13.
Right. And how many teams are there?
8. So you have 4 games on a weekend.
And how many players per team?
That dress or on a roster overall?
On rosters.
Our roster overall is 25, 19 dress a game.
Not bad. Not bad. Those are jobs. I can't imagine they're making a ton of money, but
I want to say
this is fun.
Because the players get options for equity in the league.
Oh, okay, good.
So the way they've built and constructed the league, but I think salary-wise, guys are making $50,000 or so more.
All
so
right.
Then they get health benefits. They actually made it where if this was the only thing you did, you could still live.
Sort of.
Yeah. I mean, I know people that make less.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to this.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.